Truth Revolution.
Hey, this is our show, and you're here, and we're glad that you're here. This is where faith and reason meet, and you're right there at the intersection. That's Pastor Jeff. I'm Pastor Dave, and we're from Revolution Church in Salina, Kansas.
And we have five great reasons to be an atheist today.
What? What are you doing?
You heard it.
Five great reasons to be an atheist.
This is a website.
Selling points
found this on atheistrepublic.com. A guy named Jeff Moore wrote the article. Five great reasons to become an atheist. And so we're going to examine those five reasons and see if we think they're great reasons or not.
All right. Well,
obviously, we're going to refute some of them.
Hopefully. I mean, otherwise, you know, we'll probably go off the air in the middle of the show and move on with our lives.
All right. You also got to get out to Revolution Church. Every Sunday we meet. You know, start your year all right, man. Start your year out the right way.
Right.
This is you've been listening to this. You have been thinking about coming to Revolution Church. Just come on out. Check us out on Sundays. So rev.church is the website there. But let's start into this. All right. Five great reasons to become an atheist. First reason is he says you will be free.
Right. If you are religious, he says, I am sure that at least for once you have felt like you want to do something so badly, but in the end, you could not do that because your religion does not let you do that.
Yeah, that's for sure. It's true.
Right. Sin nature.
Sin nature.
Right? Mm-hmm.
I mean, I want to do things that my religion won't let me do.
Right. Even the Bible says, the Apostle Paul says, the things I want to do, I don't do. And the things that I don't want to do, I do.
Right. So it's kind of an interesting thing. He says being an atheist actually makes him feel more free. So his first argument is that religion stops you from doing those things that you want to do. Mm-hmm. And I would go on to say that this is true. There are some things that I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
My flesh, like sometimes I want to punch some people.
Right. I've been there.
I want to.
Just kidding.
Right. I want to sleep around.
Mm-hmm.
I want to whatever it is. I don't know. You just name it.
Rob a bank.
Rob a bank. I guess I haven't really wanted to rob. I have wanted to rob a bank.
Mm-hmm.
There are things that I want to do.
Right.
See if I can get away with some of them. But I just don't do because of my religion. Right.
Right.
So he goes on. He says, "But guess what? There's no such barrier in atheism."
Oh, really?
Now I find this funny. Why do I find this funny?
Is it because of the morality?
It is because of the morality.
Yeah.
I mean, this is kind of a weird argument for atheism.
Mm-hmm.
Like you and your religion can't do things that you want to do. But guess what? In atheism, he just says it straight up. There's no such barrier.
I do what I want.
I do what I want. Mm-hmm. And this is really...
I don't think that's true.
You don't think it's true that he does what he wants?
I don't think it's true.
Why not?
Because I think he has something in his head, that morality that we're talking about, that tells him maybe you shouldn't do that.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And so we talk about, well, we just got to follow all the laws in the Bible. So therefore, I'm not going to go out and kill somebody.
Uh-huh.
You know?
No, that's not what it is. We know that a creator has endowed us with moral principles inside our conscience. And so these moral principles come from a moral lawgiver.
Yeah.
If they were just principles that we came up with on our own, that just came about naturally, then we could actually disregard them because it is not absolutely right or absolutely wrong. It's just how I feel about things.
Chaos, basically.
Well, yeah, I just want to be clear on this because I think a lot of people misunderstand the moral argument.
Right.
We're not saying, okay, well, God said to do it this way, so we have to do it that way. We're saying God knows and commands what is right, and it is right because God commanded it and because he recognizes it is right. And there are certain things that are wrong and will always be wrong and have always been wrong. Like raping someone is always wrong. It will always be wrong.
Right.
And everyone knows it's wrong. It is not okay to violate someone like that. Now, this is an absolute moral value.
Right, and I think every atheist would agree that is true, that there is some things that we just should not do.
Well, they kind of agree, but I've had discussions with atheists who've said, okay, look, I'm going to be honest with you. And then they come out and they say, I have to agree with you that my position as an atheist, I say that it is wrong, but it's not because it's an absolute value.
Right.
I just think it should be wrong. And so in their worldview, whether it's rape or robbery or whatever. They've come to believe that certain things are right or wrong, but they have no standard above them. This is just what we've agreed upon as humanity.
Right.
And it can be changed if we were to agree as humanity to change it.
Okay. I see where you're coming from there.
Okay. And so, wow. Because it's not a law that's outside of them that's important. It's a law that comes from within them. And so if within you, you feel like changing it, you can do that. That's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And so in our religion, we recognize that there are values and laws outside of us, that restrictions exist that we can't go outside of. It is absolutely true that it is always wrong to rape someone. I can never rape someone. Even if everyone in the world said it was okay,
right.
I cannot do that. But he's saying that's why you should change to atheism. That's not a good argument.
No, it's not at all. And basically, one of the things is it talks about, well, one of the things atheists do is like, here's the reason why Christianity isn't true. And when he says, well, you can do things that you want to do or you'll be free, that doesn't refute the existence of God.
No, that's a good point.
Yeah.
That's a good point. It doesn't refute the existence of God. Just because you deny that God exists and just because you choose not to accept those restrictions doesn't mean that they exist.
Right. Basically saying whatever's true for me is true.
That was a great point, Dave. Yeah. Okay, so you're driving down the road and someone's like, hey, speed limit's like 40. You don't want to get a ticket. And mm-hmm. just because you say, I don't believe in cops, I don't believe cops exist,
right.
doesn't mean you can now go 90 miles an hour. You have the freedom to go 90 miles an mm-hmm. hour. But then when the cop finally pulls you over, you're going to jail.
Right.
Or getting a ticket at least. Yeah. Right.
And that freedom to do what you want actually comes from God. He gave us the free will.
That's right.
So
just because you want to experience that freedom doesn't mean there's no God.
Right.
He goes on. He does say, you want to read that next part?
For example, you can tipple. You could start a metal band. You can go to a bar. You can have sex before marriage. You can be homosexual. And most importantly, you can experience the ultimate freedom of speech.
So all these things he's saying are good because, as an atheist. I would just like to point out that, as Dave said, this doesn't mean God doesn't exist. If God really right. does exist and you're doing some of these things that God says are wrong, you're still going to have to pay the consequences of those things. It goes, and the freedom of speech thing kind of drives me nuts.
Mm-hmm.
He goes on to say that as an atheist, he can say whatever he wants. Well, as Christians, we can say just about whatever mm-hmm. we want, but we want to confine it to things that are helpful and beneficial for
Amen.
People,
right.
Which I don't think even this guy would say that was bad.
Right.
But we're okay with questioning things. I think he thinks maybe Christians aren't allowed to question things.
Right. And you know what? A lot of Christians may think that. I mean, there are a lot of Christians who be like, well, you know, you just got to have faith. Don't question that. But I mean,
that's not who we are.
Yeah. And the Bible tells us frequently, don't just follow blindly.
Mm-hmm.
Study, you know, and look into things.
Well, it gives a definition of faith as being sure of what you cannot see.
Right.
Being certain of what you cannot see. And you're certain because you've studied and you've asked questions. So he goes on, he says, morality derives from the evolution of human intelligence.
Mm.
Now, if that is true, like our previous discussion applies, if it's true that morality only exists because it's evolved, it means that if you evolve a little differently, then suddenly some of those rules can change.
Things could be totally different.
Yeah. It's not an outside standard. It's an internal standard. And if you choose to change the rules, then you can change the rules.
Mm-hmm.
And you could say that rape is okay. And there's no absolute moral giver who can say it's not, according to atheism. And right. I don't think that's a good reason to convert to atheism. He says, though,
religion allows slavery, capital punishment, amputation, inequity for women, child marriage, superstition, caste system, war, and many other ethical stuff in religion that we no longer can even think of as ethical.
Now, it's interesting. He says the caste system is unethical. As an atheist, he would have absolutely no reason to say it's unethical.
Right.
Because he has already said that morality derives itself from evolution. And what has naturally evolved in India?
The caste system. Right.
So he has no basis for saying it's not okay. That's exactly what has evolved in India. So as an atheist, he has to say, wow, well, that's okay for them
mm-hmm.
because that's what's evolved there. He has no basis for saying that capital punishment, slavery, amputation, child marriage is wrong because that is what humans have naturally evolved to do.
Right.
So he has no basis for saying these things are wrong as an atheist. He can only say these things are wrong if you have an objective law outside of your own evolution. which we believe it does exist. Caste system, that's not Christianity. That's right. Hinduism. Child marriage, that's happens in Islam. It is not something that's taught in Christianity for sure.
Right.
There have been people who have claimed to be Christians who've done these things. Mm-hmm. Go to our show from a few weeks back with Sean McDowell. It was all about Christians doing wrong things. Should that mean you don't convert to Christianity?
Right. And one thing I want to point out too, he points out war. Okay. War is not exclusively a religious thing.
No.
Okay. Oh, war is a governmental thing.
Hey, you know what? We're going to get there. Actually, okay. one of his main things is about that.
Okay.
So I think so. Yeah, that's right. Okay.
All right.
Let's go on to number two, the number two reason to become an atheist.
Here is a chance to become more intelligent. I'm offended.
You're offended?
Not really.
Dave, are you not very comfortable anymore? Is that the problem?
No. All right. Are we comfy?
Doesn't matter. This is torture.
All right. He says, this is what I was called before I became an atheist. In my family, a stupid moron.
Ouch.
But believe me, after I became an atheist, this is what I most of the time hear now. Jeff has got good knowledge about stuff.
His name's Jeff.
Right.
Okay, so he's saying he's become more intelligent since becoming an atheist. Mm-hmm. When he wasn't an atheist, people called him stupid, but now he's an atheist, people call him intelligent.
Right.
I'm going to go out on a limb here. I'm going to suggest that maybe this has to do more with the amount of studying he puts into things and not whether he's a religious person or not.
Could it be that while he was a religious person, he was believed like a lot of other religious people do, don't question things, don't look into things. They might actually hurt your Christian intelligence.
Yeah.
And so when he finally decided to look into things and he changed his worldview, then he started studying a lot.
Yes.
But here, what we tell you is that we believe that Jesus is the answer. And we believe that if that is absolute true, when you study, you will find, if you continue to keep on studying, you will find that Jesus is the answer. That's the conclusion we've come to.
Yes.
Okay. I don't consider myself unintelligent. I don't consider you unintelligent. We're both intelligent beings. And there are a lot of people like some of those guys over at Reasons to Believe are very intelligent, but and they're Christians too. Amazing. How do you mesh that together? I don't know.
Exactly. He's for an intelligent person, he's made a serious mistake in his claim here. He's associated correlation with causality.
Right.
I'll point out what I mean. He goes on, he says this.
Says that most atheists are more intelligent than religious people.
This is an interesting claim.
Mm-hmm.
And in some ways, this is actually true. Okay, so they've done studies, and I believe I've read one out about this, so I think I know what he's talking about, where the average IQ of an atheist versus the average IQ of a religious person. Okay, the atheist has an average higher IQ. But here's the deal. All this means is that religions have plenty of poor people, plenty of people who have lower IQs, plenty of people who are suffering in society.
Right.
What it doesn't mean, and where he's made the huge mistake, is that it doesn't mean that intelligent people don't go to religion.
Right.
And it doesn't even mean that most intelligent people are atheists. That's not what it says. All it says is, hey, there are, when you're an atheist, you typically might have a higher IQ. When you're a religious person, it says nothing about that. There's such huge swaths of religious people. What is interesting, though, is he's trying to make it sound like when you are a religious person, you're not an intelligent person.
Right.
But when you're atheist, you are an intelligent person. That's not true. There are super intelligent people.
Absolutely.
Who are religious people, who believe in the existence of God. In fact, most people with high IQs believe in God.
Right.
If he's going to quote a statistic, he should quote it the right way.
Right. So basically, I mean, what you're saying in a nutshell is what he's saying is religion causes you to be dumb. Lack of religion causes you to be smart.
Right.
And that's not true.
And that's not true. Right. He's using the statistic backwards.
Right.
It's like when you get this massive statistic and then you look at one little slice of it to try to point out what you're trying to
Absolutely.
Say.
Absolutely.
If he really wants to show that atheism is smarter than religion, what he needs to do is survey all the most intelligent people in the world and then come to a conclusion after that.
Right.
But even if that were the case, it doesn't prove religion false.
Mm-hmm.
It just can't. Just because all the smart people believe something doesn't mean it's wrong.
Right.
Or doesn't mean it's right. Either way.
So, right.
All right. We're going to be right back after this. We're going to keep looking at great reasons to be an atheist or great reasons to not be an atheist.
Right.
We're going to get some Bible contradiction and want to get you out of Revolution Church if you haven't come out yet.
Yeah. Get out there. No reason not to.
That's right.
Right.
All the smart people are doing it. All right, we'll be right back.
So you've considered coming to Revolution Church.
But you haven't yet. So we have a challenge for you.
Watch live online, then visit three times.
Watch our services live before you visit
at www.revo.church.
If the teaching doesn't hit home, forget about it. But if it does, come be our guest three times in a row, because after that, we bet you'll want more.
Watch live online, then visit three times.
Yeah, it can be nerve-wracking to visit a church, but I promise we're friendly and you have nothing to lose, but you have eternal life to gain.
www.revo.church.
That's R-E-V-O.church.
Do you love Truth Revolution?
Of course they do, Dave.
Well, if you do, or...
Or if you appreciate the fact that thousands of people are being taught that Christianity is compatible with science and logic.
Or if you simply love the fact that we hear from people often who say, "This show changed my life. I love Jesus."
Then consider a donation.
You can visit truthrevolution.tv or Revolution Church and donate.
We don't get paid from this show.
But it's our goal to give truth, give knowledge, give encouragement.
And your giving keeps all of our giving going.
Do you know, or are you, a woman between 18 and 22 aging out of foster care or without a place to live?
If your goal is to continue your education, whether it's a college degree or GED, the Hope House may be the place for you.
Located in Salina, Kansas, Hope House is a beautiful home, providing not only a place to live, but a place to grow.
As a program of the Ashby House, Hope House provides dedicated volunteers and staff members who are there to help you accomplish your goals.
If this sounds like it might be a place for you or someone you know, please visit hopehouseks.org.
That's hopehouseks.org. God cares more about the inside of a person than the outside.
So Revolution Church, we agree. Want to show up wearing old sweatpants and an eye patch? You're good.
What if they don't need an eye patch?
Literally doesn't matter.
We're more concerned about what God wants for you.
We do teaching from the Bible. It's in-depth, super practical, meaning
there's not even time to waste on what someone is wearing.
Seriously, come on out. Maybe you'll find someone to swap an eye patch with.
www.revo.church.
That's R-E-V-O.church.
Truth Shots from TruthRevolution.tv and Revolution Church. Here's your host, Dave, and Pastor Jeff.
Is church a building, or can it be a group of believers that get together to worship?
The Greek word for church is ekklesia.
It was a common word used for non-religious reasons at the time.
Ekklesia was a way to describe something like town business.
Note this. Religious assemblies never used the word ekklesia until Jesus. It was a word for when someone would cry out, "Come to this important meeting."
Then people would come to do important business. While there, they were part of the church. And that is the word Jesus started to use to call Christians gathered together locally.
So, what is the body of Christ? Primarily, it is a local gathering of Christians committed to each other and meeting together to do important business of God.
That's a good definition of church.
Why, thank you.
Our local church is the place where... And the people who, both a place and a people, who come together to actively serve God, speak about and experience and share God's grace.
TruthRevolution.tv.
Truth Revolution.
I mean, I'm a smart person. You're a smart person. Sam's a smart person.
We're all smart people around here.
Yeah.
Well, not everybody.
Well, what are you saying? Why are you looking at me like that?
I'm not looking at you. All right. The author of this article, Five Great Reasons to Be an Atheist, mm-hmm. said, when you become an atheist, it's a chance to be more intelligent.
Right.
He says this, the large green text here, Dave. Let's go ahead and read this.
He says, how do you think people used to answer questions about the incidents that occur regularly around us? For example, where from rain comes from? I thought he said he was intelligent. Anyway, why there are so many animals, why the sun burns, etc., is the primitive and medieval era when religions dominated seriously, they only had one answer. God did it. They did not seek any other answer since their religions were based on faith, and faith means believe blindly, and blind beliefs create nothing but lazy brains.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we agree that last part.
What?
With that blind faith creates lazy brains.
Oh yeah, that creates lazy mm-hmm. brains. Yeah, but I was going to say absolutely false about the point he's making.
Yes,
which is that being a religious person means you don't ask questions. It's absolutely not true. Mm-hmm. He says, "Oh, in the primitive era, people thought God made the sun. People thought God made the rain come." Here's what's interesting. He's probably misunderstanding what people mean. We still say that God makes it rain.
Absolutely,
we still say God brings up the sun. We're talking about the the cosmological argument and the teleological philosophical arguments. We're not talking, we don't, we're not, when a Christian says that God makes it rain, we're not like, well, see, there's magical things in the sky.
Right.
And when God does his magic powers, then rainwater comes out of the sky. That's not what we're saying.
Right.
We understand precipitation and how the ecological system works. Mm-hmm.
He created systems
mm-hmm. that work. And if God wants to make it rain, then he can do that. Mm-hmm. He can Absolutely. Create the systems. He can get the systems going and make that happen. Science came about, and we've done shows on this, so mm-hmm. I'm not going to spend a long time on it, but I think it was a Tom Gilson. So you can go to our website, truthrevolution.tv, and type in the name Gilson, G-I-L-S-O-N.
Right.
Science came about because of Christianity. The Christian worldview and early scientists were Christians.
Right.
Without the Christian worldview, science does not come into its modern form. Newton, Kepler, Galileo, all Christians thinking that by doing science, they were studying theology. This is huge.
Right. And it doesn't sound like those people are unintelligent.
Newton, right? Kepler, Galileo. Right? Yeah, I'm thinking Isaac Newton was a pretty smart dude.
Right.
All right, let's go to number three here.
All right, you will love your planet's future.
So if you're an atheist, you'll love your planet's future.
Okay.
What's he mean by this?
He says, how many habitable planets teeming with lives exactly like Earth have been detected? Zero. Currently, we only can think of living peacefully on one planet, and that is Earth.
Okay, that's true. We as Christians would agree with that, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just the science.
Right. He says, as a result, we have to protect our planet from getting destroyed to keep our descendants alive.
Okay. Now, this is where Christians sometimes might come into disagreement.
Oh, yeah, I would say so. Right? I mean, certain Christians.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it's important to care for the earth.
Absolutely.
God told us to care for the mm-hmm. earth. In fact, the very first human, Adam, his job was to care for the earth.
Right.
It was to tend the garden, to look after it. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, that was his job. And we can't just be irresponsible. We are caretakers of what God has given us.
Right. Now, certainly, there's a certain subset of Christian out there that believes, oh, the earth's going to end soon anyway. Jesus is coming back, so we might as well just live like there's no tomorrow.
Exactly. Now, I, as a Christian, and maybe this is what he's talking about, I'm not ultimately super worried about the planet's future.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know that it's not just going to be obliterated for no reason. I don't think we're going to not recycle the earth into obliteration.
Right.
I don't think by you not recycling that the earth is going to be obliterated. I do think if we don't take care of our resources, humanity could suffer a lot.
Absolutely.
And that's a problem. But he goes on, he says, as a result, we have to protect our planet from getting destroyed to keep our descendants alive. So if you become an atheist right now, that care and love would increase immediately. I think he might be a little bit right about that.
Mm-hmm.
That as an atheist, you would want to care about the earth for yourself because no one else is going to, right? God's not going to jump in and fix it.
If I'm not
going to
do it, who will?
Right. But where I disagree is that you would want to do it for descendants. I mean, I think they do, but it's not necessarily a logical position. If you have evolved to take care of yourself from the atheist point of view, there is no evolutionary benefit to caring for your descendants.
Right. Right. It's a selfish thing. You know, it's a survival of the fittest.
Yeah.
You know, my descendants, if my descendant doesn't survive, it wasn't supposed to survive, says evolution.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
And so if I have offspring, they should be able to take care of themselves. If they can't, no big deal because the human race will continue because somebody stronger will kill my offspring if they're weak.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. Let's read this next part he says.
All right. Science is what can help us in the end to protect our planet. I'm not indicating here that every religious person hates our planet, but religions play a great role to make people less enthusiastic about saving our planet.
Yeah, I'm just not sure this is true.
Yeah, I don't agree either.
I think what he's done is maybe he's taken a certain brand of conservative Christianity
mm-hmm.
and he's applied that to all of Christianity across all time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not a very fair thing to do.
Right.
If I were to take one snippet of atheists, the angry atheist who hates religious people and say that's what all atheists are like, that's not a very fair snippet either. And so to take a little snippet of Christians who go, yeah, well, you know, I don't have to care about the earth. God's going to fix it anyway and apply that to everybody. That's not fair.
Right. He says, when I was a religious person, I sometimes thought that what was the point of fighting global warming or asteroids that there are that are threatening our planet? Maybe that is the way which God wants to destroy our planet. Okay.
If I was his pastor and he came to me as a Christian and said, you know what, I don't think we need to worry about like asteroids or global warming because maybe God wants to destroy our planet that way, I'd be like, we need to talk.
Right.
All right. Because if God wants to destroy our planet, he's going to destroy the planet. Mm-hmm. You don't have to worry about that. But God's not going to destroy the planet. You're reading the book of Revelation wrong.
Right.
But anyway, even if he was going to destroy the planet, that doesn't mean you don't take care of what's happening.
Right.
It doesn't mean you don't want to figure out a plan for if the asteroid hits the Earth. Because what if the asteroid hits the Earth and it doesn't obliterate the planet, but it kills lots of humans, we're suffering, people are dying. That's not good. Hey, let's go ahead and answer Bible question.
Bible contradiction.
All right, Bible contradiction today brought to you by Freedom From Religion Foundation. Is God peaceable? Romans 15:33 says that God is the God of peace. Isaiah 2:4 says, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore.
Very peaceful.
However, Exodus 15:3 says, the Lord is a man of war. Joel 3:9-10 says, prepare for war, wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong.
All right, we're going to read C for context, mm-hmm. our cracked acronym. Right. And when you look at the context, Romans 2, which says it's God of the peace. God of peace is, this whole part of Romans is about God forgives people. He loves people. He wants you to come to faith in him. Isaiah 2, where it talks about God is a God of peace, is about the people who've accepted forgiveness and the next life, what's going to happen. And in the next life, we will be people of peace.
Amen.
But Exodus 3, when you read the context, saying God is a warrior. Well, in Exodus 3, God had just set the Israelites free from a vicious slaveholder.
Right.
And they were singing a song going, wow, God's a vicious warrior. He set us free from those people who are trying to kill us. In Joel, God is a warrior again. Again, this is about slaveholders who took Jewish people and made them slaves. And God's saying, I'm going to stop you from doing that. And so like, wow, God's a warrior. He took care of us. This isn't a Bible contradiction. All you have to do is read the context to figure out why he's sometimes peaceful and sometimes angry.
Bible contradiction.
You almost made that too easy.
Well, I do like making easy. All right.
Number four?
Reason to be an atheist.
The reason to be an atheist? Number four, there's no need to threaten others with the hellfire.
Yeah, he says.
That was all capitals, by the way.
Yes. Yeah. You might hear always in Christianity that God is love, Jesus is love, but that is not the case at all in Christianity. Broadly, every single supreme religion demands its followers to threaten the non-believers with eternal punishment in hellfire.
Wow.
Okay. I'm going to rehash Dave's argument from earlier.
Okay.
Just because you don't believe it doesn't mean it's not true.
Right.
It is true that if you're an atheist, you are not going to talk about or worry about hell anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he quotes some Bible verses that talk about hell. We believe hell is real. He goes on, he says, this is simply vile. Threatening someone with eternal hellfire is ridiculous. It's stupid. It's vile.
Mm, right.
Okay. Unless it's real.
Absolutely.
Unless it's real.
I could threaten somebody that's driving down the road with a bridge that's out. Is that vile? Yeah. I mean, am I just trying to scare them? But if the bridge is really out, that's not what I'm trying to do.
No, you're trying to help them.
Right.
And so just because you don't believe it and don't like it doesn't mean it's not true. Right. The fifth reason.
The fifth reason? Killed in the name of atheism, said no news channel ever.
Right. He says religions are based on terrorizing the gullible. And he talks about wars and holy wars and crusades. And then he says no one has ever killed in the name of atheism.
I think he's wrong.
I think he's wrong too.
Yeah. I think socialism has, you know, well, socialism.
Communism.
Yeah. Communism has killed a lot of people.
Yeah. And he says, I mean, he would probably say, well, that's not in the name of atheism. But in all of these systems, communism especially, they reject religion. They reject the existence of God. It is all about the state and all about humanity only. And those atheistic systems have killed hundreds of millions of people.
Right.
Way more than all the religions put together in all of history.
Right.
Actually, in the 20th century alone, the atheist mindset through communism has killed more than all of Christianity in all of history.
Wow.
In one century, the atheist system has killed more than Christianity has
right. In
its entire history.
That's crazy.
All right. Thanks for listening. Coming out to Revolution Church. TruthRevolution.tv is our website.
Right.
Revolution Church's website is?
Revo.church. R-E-V-O.church.
Revo.church. Thanks for listening. If you didn't hear it, you got to get back and listen to our Fuzz Rana interview from last week. It was good.